In the book of Mark, Jesus was interrupted 35 times. People asked Jesus to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to raise the dead, and to come and teach them. He said yes. Jesus had discovered that God's frequent interruptions weren't interruptions at all. They were God's opportunities. They were God's plan for his life. The same is true of you and I. We need to learn how to live like Jesus, to live lives that God can interrupt. Jesus was interrupted during meals, while teaching crowds, while walking down the road, even when he was trying to just get away from the crowds and spend time with God. People crowded him, grabbed his clothes, as in Mark 5, and invaded his personal space. Two blind men even burst into the house where he was, apparently uninvited, in Matthew 9. Jesus healed them. Four men tore up the roof of a house to lower a sick friend down so Jesus could touch him and heal him, in Mark 2. Imagine the dust and debris falling on Jesus as they ripped up the roof above his head to reach him. That was outrageous. But Jesus didn't get upset. He healed the man. Jesus didn't just patiently endure all of this, a fake smile pasted on his face. He genuinely felt the pain of the people. He had compassion on them. He felt God's love for them, and he loved them by serving them. In Mark alone, Jesus set aside what he was doing 35 times so he could go and do what God wanted him to do. For several weeks last summer, it seemed like every day I would encounter a homeless person waiting at a traffic light, standing there holding a sign, homeless and hungry, in the Walmart parking lot or while walking in my neighborhood. Some were just standing or sitting there. Others approached me. I gave money or food to them all. I noticed an older woman in a wheelchair just sitting outside a grocery store on a very hot afternoon. I talked to her and found out she was homeless. I contacted several social service agencies to get her help. It was a long, frustrating process. I gave her food and a cord to charge her dead cell phone. I spent hours with her. She just wanted me to be there, to be with her. That encounter totally disrupted my day. It also broke my heart. One day I found a well-dressed old man in clean clothes sitting on a curb at Walmart, confused and mumbling. I watched as crowds of people passed by ignoring this old man. I called the police and someone came to investigate and help him. He lived a few blocks away but had become confused and couldn't get back home. They took him home. These people were assignments for me. Holy Spirit kept pointing them out. I didn't preach to them. I gave them money. I listened and talked to them. I helped them when I could. I loved them, blessed them, and prayed for them. I never expected so many opportunities to share the gospel of love within a mile or two of my home. One night was especially precious to me. It was a hot Florida night, about 8 o'clock, and I was walking a trail along Cypress Creek near my home in southern Florida. It was a beautiful night, and I was enjoying the wildlife near the creek. Then I felt a subtle nudge go away from the creek and walk along the road to a Dollar General store nearby. I don't like walking along that six-lane road. It's noisy and the exhaust fumes are definitely not healthy. But I felt that nudge again. Just an impulse, a vague feeling. So I left the walking path and walked toward the store. Just as I was walking past the entrance to the Dollar General, a middle-aged woman nervously approached me. She said, "I'm sorry, but I have four hungry children at home and no food to give them. Can you help me? You can come in and see what I buy." "That won't be necessary," I replied. I pulled out my wallet and gave her enough money to buy a good meal for herself and her four children. Then I said, "God bless you." She thanked me, choked with emotion. Another divine appointment. I almost didn't walk that night. I wasn't feeling well, but I enjoyed the walk. It was a beautiful Florida night. The sunset was gorgeous, its reflection sparkling on the water. Then God interrupted my walk. He had me leave the beautiful trail and walk along a busy six-lane street complete with noise and exhaust fumes. The specific work that God had prepared for me to do that night was to interrupt my plans and go where He needed me to be. He sent me to the right place at the right time, and He used me to give His love to a woman and her four children. God loved them by making sure they didn't go hungry that night. I had the privilege of delivering His help and His love to them. I wanted to jump for joy. I was so glad he'd interrupted my walk. I went back to the path to go home. I prayed for that woman and her four children, and I thanked God for interrupting what I wanted to do what he wanted to do. You have a ministry of nudges. God put you in your family, your neighborhood, your school, your job, and surrounded you with people who you are uniquely qualified to touch with God's love. Some of these people you won't even know. But you touch them as you go to the right place at the right time and do what God tells you to do. You touch them as you give God permission to interrupt you and share with you what He is doing. The Bible's filled with scriptures that show God wants to be a big part of our lives, our daily lives. He didn't start with the big things. He starts with the small things. He has specific plans for us. He has works prepared for us to do, things that were planned long before we were born. Ephesians 2:10 says, God has made us what we are, and in our union with Christ Jesus, He has created us for a life of good deeds, which He has already prepared for us to do. Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His way. Proverbs 16:1, the plans of the heart belong to a man, but the reply of the tongue is from the Lord. Proverbs 19:21, people can make all kinds of plans, but only the Lord's plan, His purpose, His advice will happen, will succeed. Proverbs 20:24, a person's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand their own way? And Jeremiah 10:23. Lord, I know that people's lives are not their own. It's not for them to direct their steps. The highest life, the most rewarding life we could possibly live, is the life God planned and prepared for us. Our role is to live interruptible lives, completing God's assignments and living the lives God planned for us to live. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote in Life Together, we must be ready to allow ourselves to be interrupted by God. God will be constantly crossing our paths and canceling our plans by sending us people with claims and petitions. We may pass them by preoccupied with our more important tasks, as the priest passed by the man who had fallen among thieves, perhaps reading the Bible. Bonhoeffer here is referring to the Good Samaritan, the parable that Jesus told, where a priest actually walks by this man who's been robbed and left beaten along the road by thieves. Interruption is God's invitation. It's God's invitation to come closer to God, to know His heart for people, to overcome evil with good. You and I can't overcome all the evil in the world, but we can stop for the one person in front of us. We can make a difference in their life. We can love and care for them the way Jesus would. Interruption is God's invitation for you to be transformed to become like Jesus. Self is the enemy of living a Christ-like life. A life lived for Christ is a selfless life. It's a life dedicated to others. It's a life filled with God's love for others and filled with others' love for you in return. God interrupts us to transform us into new people by changing the way we think. See Romans 12:2. It's an invitation to open your eyes to see as God sees. You'll develop fresh awareness of people and their problems. And you'll also become more aware of God, of His power, of His love, and of His faithfulness. It's an invitation to hear God and immediately obey. Developing a habit of immediate obedience is a powerful thing. It will make you like King David, someone God can rely on to do everything God wants you to do. Someone who can, Acts 13:22 says, God testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He'll do everything I want him to do. It's an invitation to learn to love. It's through serving that we learn the true meaning of love. Matthew 23:11 says, the greatest among you will be your servant. It's an invitation to learn humility. Living interruptible will empower you to do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Philippians 2:3. And it's an invitation to the joy of loving and serving others. Ecclesiastes 9:7 says, go then, eat your bread in happiness and drink your wine with a cheerful heart, for God has already approved your works. When you're doing the work of God, there's such joy there. Activation. We need to create margin in our lives so we have time, energy, and resources for God's interruption. We need to embrace a lifestyle of interruption, knowing interruption is often how God directs us into the specific works He's prepared for us to do. And interruption is how God develops us, how He transforms us into these new creations that He's created us to be. First, decide to live like Jesus. Live an interruptible life. Invite God to interrupt you with divine opportunities to touch the lives of others. Second, create margin. Think of two things you can do today to create time, energy, and resources so you can immediately obey God when He interrupts your plans with His. Let your interruption adventures begin. If you enjoyed this podcast, please like, subscribe, and share with a friend. Thank you. And thank you for listening and for doing the activation to let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Romans 12:2, New Living Translation. Until next time, God bless.